Hello,
ladies, gentlemen, from the old world and the new. My name is Joe Fortunato. I am joined by Michael Murphy and Beth Macklin, and this is Bantering the Blue Shirts, and we are streaming directly into your ear. How are you two doing today?
I'm fine. I'm worried about you guys, but I'm fine.
Interesting. Beth, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Let's see what happens.
Okay, let's see what happens. We do have a very interesting show today. We have a bunch of things to talk. Excuse me. We have a bunch of things to talk about. Before we talk about them, we have some exciting news. Bantering the Blue Shirts has a sponsor, and that sponsor is Patreon. And then there's another sponsor, a real sponsor, called Blue Apron, which is a company that most of you have probably heard of. They are a company that will gather fresh ingredients for dinner, give you the directions on how to cook said ingredients, and they will deliver them right to your door. And Blue Apron has been kind enough to send me a free, it looks like a free week of meals, actually. It's three meals in there, and my wife and I have eaten two of them, and they were very good, and they were very simple. And here's the deal. I'm going to tell you what the deal is. Basically, for less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron will deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Every week is a different menu item. So this week we had chicken enchiladas and burgers, and then I think there's a shrimp and pasta dish. Next week is like cumin crusted pork and udon noodles and fettuccine with basil. So every week is a little bit different. I know, it's very good food. And you don't have to go to the food store. You don't have to cook anything. I think the only thing they don't give is like salt and pepper. Everything else comes to your door, and it's fresh, and they delivered it in two enormous ice packs, and I kept the ice packs because that's how good the ice packs were, and I'm cheap and frugal, and I wanted them. check out this week's menu, and you get your first three meals for free with free shipping. So just go to blueapron.com/blueshirt. Not Blue Shirt Banter, not Bantering the Blue Shirts, just Blue Shirt. You'll definitely love how good it feels to taste and to create. Really makes you feel like a chef. Incredible home-cooked meals. And that's, again, blueapron.com/blueshirt. You sign up, you're going to get six meals. You have to pay for three of them, and it's $30, but you get the other three for free, and you're getting three free meals. So I would do it. I know, you know, some of you are married. You come home late from work. You have wives who maybe cook. My wife happens to cook these two meals, or maybe you just want a little something
or
to put
husband.
Together nice for yourself or a husband. Sure, maybe the husband cooks. And it is nice to have, instead of going food shopping, you just have everything delivered right to your door. Every ingredient, like from the garlic to the basil or whatever it is. And as I said, they have been really good. So go to blueshirtbanter.com or blueshirtbanter.com. Go to blueapron.com/blueshirt. A lot of blue.
Blueshirtapron.com.
Yeah.
You can pick your recipes. You can do whatever. They're, all the food is from sustainable environments, and they delivered, I think, 99% of the continental United States. So no matter where you are listening to Blue Shirt Panther, you can get Blue Apron. So one more time, blueapron.com/blueshirt. Go do it. You support us, and you get to eat really good food. And I don't see any way that that's not the greatest thing in the world, because who doesn't love food?
Sir. Well, let me interrupt you. Are you saying that technically we could use Blue Apron as an ice pack getting racket? Like, if you're one of those people who wants to assemble a large amount of ice packs,
you could. You absolutely could.
My God.
You could build a city of them, basically. You just keep ordering week by week, and the next thing you know, you have an ice pack city.
Frankly, I never have enough ice packs around.
And, you know,
so
when you watch the Rangers and you throw your fist into the wall, you may need an ice pack to ice those injured limbs, so you don't know. Also, patreon.com/blueshirtbanter. You should do that too, because that helps us. Anthony Viola, Dan Lynch, Matt Bader, Eric Cohn, Daniel DeGen, Michael Silvers, Trevor Kempner, Thomas Osa, Alexander Thornton, Nicholas Forlenza, Dan Carosi, Taylor Ryder, John J. Porter, Armiel Kissinger, and Zachary Zetlin are the fine folk who have helped donate and make this show a better place. I have to add one more person, actually. Igor Zalofsky. So look at that. All of you people are awesome. Patreon.com/BlueShirtBanter. BlueApron.com/BlueShirt. And that is enough of that. Let's talk about the new Rangers. Go ahead.
Did you say Igor, as in Igor?
Sure, Igor. You want to hear a funny story about Igor? I went to Italy and I went to Venice and I decided I was going to take a romantic gondola ride, and my gondolier was named Igor.
Igor the gondolier?
Would you expect that?
I want to write a short story about Igor the gondolier.
You should write a short story about it. All right, here's the thing you all wanted to talk
over
about.
His front back.
As you all know, if you donate to Patreon, if you don't donate to Patreon, you can do this too. But if you donate to Patreon, you kind of get first dibs. You guys get to ask us what you would like us to talk about. And almost everybody said the Alain Mignot extension. The head coach signed a 2-year extension. He is in the fourth of a 5-year deal this year, bringing him under contract to 2020. I have a lot of thoughts on this. But I've spoken for the first 6 minutes of the show, so I will let Beth give her thoughts first.
Oh, we all know Beth's thoughts, but Beth will ask her question. And by the way, Igor the Gondolier is the B-side to Poor Jimmy Vesey Yes, in the Blue Shirt Banter musical releases, which we will tell you more about shortly. I just have questions. I have questions about why this happened now. I don't understand why the organization didn't wait to see what happened in the playoffs, which you'd think would be significant to them in what call or choice they wanted to make at this point. Even if we're not talking about him being fired, but I don't think any of us expected him to not only be extended but also get a raise before we see if this team is even going to, again, sort of drag itself over the threshold into the playoffs, much less make it out of the first round. So he seems kind of bulletproof right now. And, you know, when you're in the mood for some bullets, it's a little infuriating. That's my take right now is why now, which is not a take, it's a question. But anyway, Mike?
I think the thing that a lot of people were wondering, you know, obviously it came during the All-Star break, but the timing of it feels really peculiar. It was also ironic that, you know, this first game, you know, after the news of the extension came against the coach that he replaced in New York, who, was given, kind of similar, limited success, I guess you would call it, but wouldn't have been given the sort of extension. So it's an interesting thing to see where Vigneault kind of stands in the eyes of the Rangers front office. Then apparently they must really, really like what he's doing, because now, he's going to be here, I think, through 2019, 2020. So, it's a 2-year extension and it's also a raise. And, whether or not the Rangers intend that to be a statement, it will be a statement to fans and also the team itself. So an interesting thing from the Post article about it was, mentioning that he's been quicker to bench players this year and that he's found some success integrating some young guys in the lineup. But, I don't know, if either of those things are points to be celebrated, just because, I don't want to go over the same points we seem to go over every podcast, but, benching the right players, and demoting the right guys and all that is, I know Joe, was more or less weeping on Twitter earlier today when he saw Bucinovic's ice time.
I am emotional.
I guess that's a good launching off point for you, Joe, if you want to give your 2 cents on it.
I will give my 2 cents on it. But before I give my 2 cents on it, I just want to say that Katie, she's at twitter.com/SOPDET, is a good friend of the site. And she's listening with her father. She can't get into the chat.
Oh, room, hello.
I feel like I should mention that.
Katie!
As I call Riveter Katie on Twitter.
And Blue Shirt Banter supporter. And her father, I'm going to assume, is as well. And if he's not, then he will be. Because what other podcasts
lovely person.
Give him a shout-out ever? None. I will say none of them. Beth, I like your wording of this. Which is peculiar.
But not mine.
50s, no, yours was terrible, awful. I don't even know what to say. 50 brings up a good point in the chat, which is a point that I'm going to bring up in an article that's going to be posted tomorrow about this, which is in the coaching world, the coach's extension means nothing. There is no cap hit. There is no penalty. The only thing that this extension does in logistical terms, something you can really grab and touch, is that Dolan needs to spend more money if the Rangers are going to fire Vigneault. They can fire him tomorrow. This doesn't change anything. There's no cap penalty. There's no nothing. So in that regard, I shrug my shoulders at this move. Whatever. Dolan has enough money for a million head coaches. Hire all of them. Fire all of them. It's not my money. I don't care. However, under the surface, the timing is a little strange. We've seen the Rangers regress from Stanley Cup finalists to Eastern Conference finalists to last year's first-round blowout. And there was a sense among everybody that Vigneault's leash was a little bit shorter, that his seat was a little bit warmer. And I will say, with the amount of injuries the Rangers have had to deal with, there has been a level of success that you should be pleased with this year. I'm not sure if it's the type of success we were seeing towards the end of Tortorella, where the team is almost winning in spite of what was in front of them. But there is a level of success here. But I don't know how you tell the world, hey, this guy's done a good enough job that, you know, we're going to give him 2 more years before he's even in the last year of his contract. I totally understand the regular season success. I totally understand the level of, I guess, calm that Vigneault brings to this team. And I do sympathize with the media, believe it or not, that they like him because he makes their jobs a lot easier. And as a result, they make his job a lot easier. But we don't play that game, at least not in the blogger world. And I don't love the idea of saying to Vigneault,
the blogger world.
The mean street to the blogger world. I don't love the idea of saying to Vigneault, you've made a lot of mistakes. You've made a lot of critical mistakes. We still haven't seen any adaptations on the defense. Your offensive strategies continue to be puzzling. You've had a goaltender who in his prime has literally carried you to success in New York, and he seems to be someone that you're isolating for blame. And more importantly, you're still doing a lot of the things that got you fired in Vancouver. And I don't know how that feels. I'm not in the locker room. I can't pretend to tell you what I think the players think about or what they want to say. And I would assume that the guys like Girardi and Klein and Staal and Nash and the old school, Jesper Fast especially, the old school guys or the AV favorites are very happy that he's around, and they probably like him a lot. And I would think the McElraths, the Edoms, the Adam Clendennings, the Oscar Lindbergs and the Kevin Hayes's maybe, and, you know, depending on the year, the Anthony Duclairs are not happy that he's still around. And player development was a big part of Vigneault's issues in Vancouver. And I think he hasn't had as much of an issue in New York in that regard, but you are starting to see how the rope can fray a little bit with him. I mean, Mike brought it up. Buchnevich played 10 minutes and 40 seconds yesterday in a game where the Rangers desperately needed offense.
That's terrible.
And the reason that was the case was because he moved VC off the fourth line and would not move Fast down to the fourth line, so he put Buchnevich down there. That's not good coaching. I don't care. I'm an armchair coach in a lot of regards, and I would say anybody who writes or thinks about the team in any capacity that doesn't work for them is. But to me, that seems like a blatant misuse of talent. And once again, I've spoken too long. Mike, you can comment on me commenting on things.
I like to think I'm more of like a chaise lounge coach, like very relaxed, indifferent most of the time.
Go on.
I thought you were saying something there. It's a strange thing for me to get too worked up about the extension, because, like you said, Joe, and like George pointed out in the chat, it doesn't really matter to anyone but Dolan. And if it, you know, if he has to cut the strings on Vigneault a little early, you know, maybe he doesn't get a big amp for his band that he had his eyes on, you know. So I don't know, other than the, you know, the statement and kind of the, you know, the intangibles aspect of it. And that is the part that I think people are worked up about, and we saw Rangers social media get worked up about, and I think it's understandable, especially because, you know, if we trace the, you know, connect the dots from last year to this season, I don't think the team's gotten any better. You know, I know that some aspects of the team have certainly gotten better, and, you know, the, I don't even know if you compare, you know, what the record was last year, this year, what it would be like. I'm sure the Rangers have probably won a couple more games this year, but if you just watch the team, you know, without diving into the, you know, the analytics and getting into, you know, possession numbers and any of that stuff and expected goals and goals for and goals against, the Rangers just don't look good. And even, you know, against the Blue Jackets, six consecutive even strength goals against that's brutal, especially for a team that you could be facing in the first round of the playoffs. You can't, and this is not a team the Rangers are unfamiliar with. And I know that, you know, some fans would be quick to point out, you know, Lundqvist's soft goal. After Raanta went in, Raanta had worse numbers in that game than Hank did. He faced, I think, 10 shots, and he allowed 3 goals. And
take a wild guess who got the blame.
Yeah, and that's, and in fact, because the Rangers, you know, picked up 3 goals, you know, it was a no decision for Hank in terms of his record. He didn't earn the loss, but, you know, the 4 goals that came in the third period, you know, some people are like, oh, you know, it started with a Bronx cheer at the Garden when VC had that, I don't even know what you want to call that goal. Boy, did he need it, as Joe pointed out earlier. Yeah, it was one of those, like, receiving a lateral in football, and he wasn't ready for it, and that's what Korpisalo looked like. He just kind of bumbled the puck into his own net. But I don't know, you know, if there's anything to take away from the game and, you know, from the team with, you know, scoring 4 consecutive goals in the third period sounds good, all even strength, but Columbus just stopped trying. You know, Tortorella called the timeout, and, you know, he had to wake his team up. And, you know, this is a team that, you know, just extended its head coach and, you know, a sign of confidence. And St. Louis, you know, Hitchcock just got the axe. So you think about, like, the climate of expectations in New York and, you know, how there's such a high demand for success when you're behind the bench. And it's really peculiar timing, but you know, as you pointed out, it's not something I think to get too worked up about. I think the problems on, you know, going on the ice are a big deal. So, I don't know.
You know, all those fun things. Beth, do you have something to add?
I guess I'm just struck by, you know, and it's always weird because you have like a history every season of the time you felt like this way because this was happening. And then, you know, 6 games later, you don't even remember feeling that way. I'm just trying to remember back to when we were like, wow, you know, when we have Nash and Bush and Zibanejad back, you know, this team is just going to destroy everything in its path and they will outscore the defense because they were winning without those guys. And I feel like it's been worse somehow since they got back. In a strange way, even the games they've managed to win. And I don't know what that is. That's why this team baffles me. You would think that getting a line like that back could only be a plus, you know, they could only play better from that point forward. And we just we really have not gently seen that. I'm not sure we've consistently seen anything except defensive problems, frankly. It just seems like they just can't get their stride or get their, you know, but it's strange that things seem more unraveling and unpredictable now than almost than they did at the beginning and middle of the season to this point.
That is a good point.
And I can't figure that out.
I believe we have an old friend on the line. I'm going to say this is Michael from Nevada. I may be wrong. But whoever you are on Bantering the Blue Shirts. Who is this?
It is Michael from Nevada. How you guys
see,
doing?
I knew it. Hey. How are you doing, buddy? I feel like we have one listener in Nevada, and it's you.
Yeah. Hey, I kind of was really perplexed that they re-signed him to a contract extension. I don't know how much New York thinks about this, and I'm sure the Ranger brass actually does, and obviously we all know Dolan has deep pockets. But one of the advantages to signing Vigneault to an extension would be, assuming they fire him, he's got a couple choices. He can take the money under the contract and not do anything or get a job as a talking head on NHL Network or Comcast or wherever he'd want to go. But in order for him to get another hockey job, that club would actually have to come to the Rangers and ask permission to talk to him. So I don't know if it's kind of a defensive move on the team's part that, hey, for the next 3 years, he can either take the money under the contract and have us dictate where he can and can't go, or if he wants to just forego the money under the contract, then he can obviously sign with anybody. But if he's, you know, been made the third highest paid coach in the league, you know, that's a lot of money to turn down if he, you know, wants to go to another team.
So that's a great point, actually, and I want to get into that a little bit. Was that all you had? I don't know why Black Talk Radio is giving me issues when we have a fourth person in the call, so I'm getting a kickback.
No,
I also hang up on you, but
when you guys were joking about Beth wanting to lick someone's face, I was really concerned from a legal standpoint that Beth
is
your attorney.
Different.
Please don't do that.
Are you an attorney?
That was a while ago.
Yeah, we always have
attorney?
Disclaimers of some kind.
No, and I know it was a while ago, but still, I just cringed every time I read that.
This is important. You are an attorney then?
Yes.
You are the official attorney of Bantering the Blue Shirts, and it is now your responsibility.
Well, I don't know if I'm the official
whatever.
Attorney. There's lots of attorneys
not
there.
Get a free Blue Apron mail every once in a while.
Spoken like a true attorney, but well, I don't know if I want to get involved with these shenanigans, which is very smart. I would not want to get involved with this either.
I think the team obviously, you know, has some interest in, you know, if Vigneault goes to, I mean, obviously I don't think they'd want to see him go to the Islanders, you know, and be the coach there.
That's a great point.
From our cynical standpoint, maybe we would want to see him go to the Islanders and screw things up there as bad as he has here. But, you know, I think from the team standpoint, they'd like to make sure that he probably doesn't go to a competitor.
Yeah, let's. I'm gonna let you go so I stop getting these kickbacks on this. But listen, because I do want to talk about that. Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you guys. I appreciate you guys doing the show.
Well, thanks for calling.
Tell everybody that we're good out there in Nevada. Thank you. So what Michael was saying is that is a really interesting point.
I wouldn't have thought of that.
In the event that you sign a head coach, right? So Vigneault is signed through 2020 now. If the Rangers fired him tomorrow, he stays on their payroll. He signed a contract. They owe him that money. There is no buyout. And other teams would – is someone microwaving something?
Yes, my brother and roommate is, yeah.
Is it Connor?
No, it's my brother, Patrick. In the case you heard, boopity boop boop. He hung his head in shame and walked past.
If it was, yeah, good. If it was Connor, I would have been very upset. The point is that the Rangers do control their destiny here because they pay Vigneault. Other teams would have to ask the Rangers permission to speak to him. And like he said, say the Islanders are looking for a coaching change or – you know, the Devils are, for whatever reason, they'd have to ask the Rangers for permission, and the Rangers could control their own destiny in that regard. Or Vigneault would have to forego the money, which I guess he could do too. But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the new CBA does not allow you to get compensation for coaches anymore, correct?
I don't remember. I'm very bad at the CBA.
It sounds stupid. It's one way or the other. He either can or can't. So I like the thought of that, though, that the Rangers would be, that Jeff Gordon would be that savvy to say, listen, we're going to play with Dolan's money, but we also want to control where he can and can't go moving forward. And I don't know if Vigneault can break that himself. I don't know if he can. He might not be able to. And Michael, who may or may not be the official lawyer of Bleacher Panther, has ordered Beth not to lick anyone's faces, but you don't have to lick the face. Just
I say we make him. I say we make him.
I do think that was the night I was plastered, and I do think that
was that the Lunkin' night or the butter off a duck.
The threat of licking was intended to be hyperbolic, a hyperbolic assumption that I would not have to. And as we all recall, he did come through. No one got licked.
Yes, maybe Shay did good.
I am an upstanding member of several communities, not counting this one, and
Jack McKenna
definitely
who,
didn't mean to disturb anybody, and we'll
except for Brittany Shea, who she was going
to
lick.
Keep
Jack
my
McKenna, who
tongue to myself
should have been
from
fired
now on
for the picture that he put up of the King celebrating the Stanley Cup, but I'm too lazy to do that yet. Just said in the chat room that there is no more compensation for hiring fired coaches, so there's no, no opportunities there. But I do like the idea that the Rangers would be cunning enough to do that. Mike, did you speak on that topic? Because I am curious what you have to say.
No, I was just saying I don't know enough about those aspects of the CBA. I would trust, what Jack had to say. He's good at knowing the minutiae on things like that and the cap. So it is a pretty interesting point, but it also, I don't know. It seems like I'm not sure if this was announced with much fanfare or anything, and I'm not sure how, even though he is our official lawyer, I'm not sure how much weight or how much stock we want to buy on this particular theory. But interesting in that no matter how you look at it, for a team that has pockets as deep as the Rangers, it's a safe move because all it will ever cost the team is money. And, and because of that, it's signing him now makes more sense than it might, if we look at it only in the context of why the heck do you sign him when, the team is clearly flawed and it's, the All-Star break and et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, it is an interesting theory.
I think we can all agree that it's just bizarre. And it may be something to look no deeper than the surface, just that the Rangers know there's not a ton of options out there coaching-wise, and the devil is sometimes better than the devil you don't. And the other big aspect of this, too, is Vigneault is not a bad coach. He's just a coach who doesn't know his limits and can't get beyond some of his blind spots. And if Jeff Gordon does the right thing and gets rid of the toys that Vigneault wants to play with that keep hurting the team, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with getting rid of Girardi and maybe even Staal and revamping the defense and then giving it to Vigneault, because Vigneault can do good things with it, but it has to get to that point. And Gordon's silence is being duly noted for everybody, especially if the Rangers decide that they're going to be buyers at the deadline, which I think is a ludicrous assumption at this point. Dave Lozo, who has bounced around a bit, but I think is at, I don't even know where he is right now, but
Vice?
Some publication.
Yeah, he writes a lot for Vice, but he's kind of
Vice, okay. He said the Rangers should be sellers at the deadline, get whatever they can for anyone and over 30, because they'd still be a playoff team, and I agree with that, but no one's taking Girardi, no one is taking Klein, most likely, and there's not any forward stuff.
That comes off as a radical idea, but I think it's pretty sound in its assumption. Like, I think it makes plenty of sense. But, of course, there are both Staal and Girardi have no movement clauses. Klein, I really have no idea what sort of trade value Klein would have at this point. Looking back to last trade deadline, probably the biggest, Justin Schultz moved to Pittsburgh for, I think it was the third or a fourth round pick. Nothing too significant, and the Chris Russell trade, of course. So, I don't know what Klein would bring back, but more importantly, probably, you know, are we utterly convinced that, you know, Klein is obviously the guy who's most likely to be moved just because he doesn't have the, you know, the no movement or no trade to work around. But, you know, if that's the case, the Rangers go from their, you know, seventh defenseman being Clendenning to the seventh defenseman being who? Graves? I mean, do you call up, who is it, Kampfer that we got back in the McElrath trade, right? I guess it would be Kampfer. I don't know. That'd be,
it may as well be no one.
Yeah, and that's my point.
They get no one back.
Well, the defensive depth of the organization is not exactly inspiring at the moment, but, and that makes the, you know, the kind of bad apples that are here all the more painful and feel all the more heavy on the salary cap and on the ice, just because it's, there's not a lot of kind of hope coming around the corner. I mean, Graves is, there's a lot of things interesting about Graves, but he's, you know, I don't think he's someone that people consider to be, you know, an NHL-ready prospect that's just kind of biding his time in the AHL. So, and in terms of forwards, I think we've talked about it before. There's a whole lot of forwards the Rangers have right now. And I think tomorrow, what is it, Peary's out and Oscar's back in. So, you know, moving a guy like even, you know, even though he doesn't fit the bill of over 30, moving a guy like Peary just to see what you would get from makes sense, you know. So I think last year when he got traded at the deadline, it was like for a fifth or sixth pick, you know, nothing substantial. But I think his stock has risen since then.
Well, there are a bunch of players, the Rangers. I would love to see what the Rangers could get for Grabner. And I still think the Rangers are a playoff team. I don't think the Rangers are Stanley Cup contenders this year, and unless there's going to be a drastic overhaul to the defense. I don't think they're going to be no matter what they do. So you get rid of Grabner right now. He's got 22 goals on the year. You can get a killing for him at the deadline. You really can. You could probably get a first round pick.
A second round pick, maybe two second round picks, or maybe even a first from the right team.
I do see teams would be in a bidding war for him. I mean, if the team thinks they're going to win the Stanley Cup, look at what the Rangers were willing to give up for Yandel. And obviously, Yandel had a much better track record in terms of offense than Grabner, but all you need in the playoffs is a guy to be hot. And right now, Grabner is red hot. So why wouldn't you take a look at it?
And he'll kill penalties. Yeah.
And the Rangers would be a worse team without him, but they would not be worse enough to the point where they're going to miss the playoffs. And even if they do, it's not because of Grabner. It's because of the defense. Yeah.
Who can even tell what makes them a worse and a better team at this point? That's kind of what I was saying before.
Well, Vigneault can't because he's still not playing Clendenning. He's still putting Klein and Girardi out there, and he still seems to blame Henrik Lundqvist about everything. Oh, by the way, he got an extension, so there's that. Go ahead, Beth.
Oh, my. No, I was actually going to – I saw this around, didn't get to go deeply into it. So because McElrath got sent down, we don't get the not great but something pick that was part of the deal for him?
It would have been
because
a,
he didn't play 30 games
pick.
Or something?
It would have been like a seventh-round pick. He played 24 of the 30 games, and Florida was like, no. But again, this is not like people throw that back in our face and it bothers me because the point is not that Dylan McElrath or Adam Clendenning for that matter are world beaters or going to change much of anything. They're just better options than what the Rangers have out there right now. And that is a fact that goes overlooked continuously with this coaching staff. And I don't know who to put the blame on.
It was pretty hard to overlook it last night.
That's the deal. Was it, though? Because he turned around and Klein is starting again tomorrow.
And he scored a goal. If I never in a million years would I have guessed that Klein and DC would have gotten that started.
But it doesn't, the Klein goal is an excuse for people who are like, oh, well, that's why AB's giving him another chance. No, it's something that he can point to. Klein was starting regardless.
Yeah.
And oh, I see.
No, I agree.
Well, Klein was the
hold
Holden
on.
Of the
we're
last
welcoming
few years.
We're welcoming Jack to the show, even though he should have been fired. Jack, hello.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
You have quite a bit of nerve calling into this show.
You know how many people yell at me?
I think I'm public enemy
on
the one around there right now.
He's also a Patriots fan, which...
Wait, I thought we were talking about negative traits. What?
Yeah, okay. Do you want to get hung up on, or are you just going to allow this to wash your hands? Don't come to that. Mike, go ahead. Whatever you were saying before Jack rudely interrupted all of us.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm kind of lost in a burning sea of fury here. I think the interesting thing about Klein is that in many ways he's kind of a Holden before Holden arrived. Holden, I looked it up the other day. He has, I think, the third highest even strength shooting percentage of any defenseman in the league. I think it's Jason Demers and Ryan Ellis who have higher. Just, I think Holden's shooting like 11% at even strength. It's fantastic. And as we all know, Klein, you know, when he first became a Ranger, it was one of those things like, hey, what the hell? He's scoring goals. And hey, what the hell? You know, he's not so bad. And, you know, he was paired with guys who weren't, you know, necessarily black holes. And, you know, he was one of those guys who kind of exceeded expectations because, you know, expectations were pretty reasonable, and he had this kind of cap-controlled contract, and, you know, there is a very different feel and expectation for him, and above all else, he was a right-handed, right-side defenseman that wasn't Dan Girardi. So it was very easy to be, you know, excited about Klein, but what we've seen this year is so different. You know, that goal was his first goal of the year, and you know, it's not about goals and assists for defensemen, obviously, all the time. But, you know, for as many just infuriating, you know, blooper reels of Girardi dropping to a knee or having his to James Van Riemsdyk when he's all alone on the doorstop burying a goal, Klein is, you know, three-fourths as long. You know, he makes a lot of really goofy mistakes that, you know, I don't know if we just hadn't noticed him or if he's, you know, being exposed a little bit more now. But it's definitely, you know, it's definitely a problem. And it's one of those things that I think that's been a big part of the problem this year is, you know, we didn't expect great things from Stahl and Girardi. And, you know, we had very, very reasonable expectations for Shea. And, you know, I think it's fair to say that Shea has either matched or exceeded expectations. I think he's very quietly had a very good rookie season, especially for a D. And, you know, we look at what Klein's done this year, and there's not a lot to like. I mean, it's far and away Holden has been better than Klein, and that's kind of a goofy thought. I never would have thought that would have been the case at the beginning of the year. That might just go to show how much I know, but yeah, I think, you know, Klein is getting paid, you know, $1.5 million more per year than Holden. So I think the decline in his player, whether or not it's a true decline or if we're just noticing it, is a huge part of the defense's problems. But I'll let Jack ruin everything and talk now.
Well, Jack, before you speak, I just want to make one very quick point to your point, Mike, and that's, if Holden was not scoring at the clip that he was scoring at to this point, would the perception of him be wildly different than it is right now? Because that ended up being what saved Klein from people thinking, oh, this guy is not doing his job.
Yeah,
he's
in the red in possession, but everyone but Clendenning is. His numbers are not awful, but the counting stats he has obviously go a long way towards helping. And, you know, he's one of those guys who just seems to just pick up all these even strength points. And, you know, he's, you know, assists and secondary assists. And, you know, there's a span of a couple games where it seemed like every shot he put on net would either be tipped or, you know, the rebound would get slammed home or he would get a goal. And he just looked at him and said, who the hell is this guy? But, it's a fair point, Joe. I don't know if we would be as gangbusters about Holden if not for the fact that he's shooting 11% at even strength, but it's kind of the same thing that happened when so many Rangers fans fell in love with Klein, you know, before he looked like Tom Cruise's stunt double from the Last Samurai movie.
Go ahead, Jack. You can now speak.
Just about the defense or about selling at the deadline, or what are we going with here? Cause
I don't know.
The Last Samurai.
What do you want
to tell us? Speak.
I don't know. I mean, like, I think I'm with Joe. I really don't think this team is capable of going on a run with the defense as
yeah, right.
it is. Like, maybe if you make a move for someone, like someone for, like, Franzen or Shattenkirk, something like that, then maybe you can do something with that. Like, the Blues obviously fired Hitchcock today, so Shattenkirk's probably going to be more available. So if you can maybe ship Klein out, limit Girardi's minutes, and get someone like Shattenkirk in here, then I think there's a chance. But if you're not bringing like an A++ defenseman like him in here, you're better off just selling it and taking a run next year. Get everyone healthy, get a revamped blue line, or just go from there.
Yeah, get Shattenkirk in free agency, yeah.
And one of the main reasons why people are so opposed to that line of thinking is more than likely the Henrik Lundqvist factor, that some people who aren't crabs feel an emotional tie to a guy who has brought the Rangers to where they are right now and is kind of being treated like a piece of crap. And I said this on the last show, I have to live with the decisions that I make in terms of the stances that I take and not be kind of wishy-washy on it. And I don't care about the things that Girardi did in the past, for example, in terms of paying him today and tomorrow. So if it does come to the point where Lundqvist is over the hill and aging and there's no more light in that tunnel, then the Rangers need to do what's best for the Rangers, as much as that may be a difficult or hurtful thing to do. And I don't think we've seen that yet. I know we haven't seen the proof that we would need to see to get to that point, but it behooves the Rangers not to rebuild, but to restructure. You're not going to get rid of Girardi without buying him out. No one's going to take him. Vegas isn't going to take him unless you trade Vegas assets to take him, and who's going to do that? You could maybe get rid of Klein. With the bounce back year Staal has had, you might be able to get rid of him, and that may be a good idea considering you are expecting him to fall off the cliff at some point too as he gets a little bit older. You move Grabner, which you can do. You move Peary or Pumpel if you can. But Grabner specifically would be an enormous haul back. And you see how you structure things out. You get Shattenkirk in the offseason. You try to make a savvy move. If you replace Girardi and Klein with Shattenkirk and replacement-level player, the Rangers are on a totally different level with the offense that they have, the goaltending that they have, and now the defense that they would have. But if you trade for a guy like Shattenkirk, and he replaces Klein, say, and it's an enormous upgrade, but Girardi is still getting big minutes at even strength, you're not fixing anything. You're just making the Rangers a little bit better while still leaving an enormous hole in the ship. And I don't know what we would get out of Vigneault. We were talking about this a little bit in the chat before, where I was saying take the toy out of his hand, and people were saying, well, when the Rangers had Neandle, they didn't use him right, and then we kind of were like, oh, well, he also had Girardi, so he didn't really have an option to not use him. And that's, you know, I don't know. I know it's not necessarily a good thing to say as a podcast host. I don't know what the Rangers want to do. I have no clue. Gordon has been ominously silent this entire process. He hasn't said anything. He hasn't done anything. There really are no rumors for the Rangers at this point. People are linking them to Shattenkirk. Excuse me, a couple of people are linking them to Doan, which for the life
of
me...
Yeah, the Doan rumor just doesn't make any sense at all.
How that makes any sense? It doesn't. We're about to lose all of you guys.
Where the hell would he play?
I appreciate all of you listening. We appreciate all of you. I will give you Jack's home address so you can go with pitchforks and torches and take care of him. Just do it without telling the police that I told you to do it.
We did talk to an attorney tonight, Joe. We were warned about these.
Yeah, but he warned us about licking, not... Like licking
not
faces
about
specifically.
Threats of violence that are suddenly veiled. No.
Yeah, I don't think so. But anywho, what do the Rangers see themselves as? Doan, if the Rangers traded for Doan and like it was just for Doan, whoever was involved in that decision needs to be immediately fired. Unless the Coyotes are giving you something to take him, or it's a seventh round pick, there's no, like I'm twitching right now thinking about it. No.
No, it was
no. So, yeah. I don't know.
When is the I think a point to bring up, just because it's relevant to one of the points you raised before, is on starting on July 1st, Girardi has, you know, the change in his contract where he has the, I think it becomes the modified no trade, where he gives the 15 teams that he cannot go to. So, you know, in essence, he can shoot, you know, shoot a hole in that plan of, you know, the idea of trading him to Vegas, which I know that some people have talked about as, you know, an idea where, you know, you, but again, that's, it wouldn't be trading, would it? Never mind. It would be claiming. I got mixed up. Yeah.
God,
it's so confusing because, like, even Stahl is, I think he just has an ironclad no movement. He just won't go anywhere. Right. So,
yeah, I do believe he has a full no move.
Yeah, and he'd have to consent to being moved anywhere, which is true of Girardi, and that's also why I think, I don't know if we ever went into it on the podcast, why, you know, there's all the talk about, you know, Stepan and whether or not to keep him around, but it is definitely a really interesting thing to think of the Rangers being where they are in the standings and, you know, already having, you know, I think 31 wins now. And, you know, the idea of them being sellers really doesn't sound that unappetizing. And I think that Mitch speaks volumes about where the team is.
Beth?
What?
Oh, okay.
I need a question. You guys say good things, but I need to, I'm not sure exactly what we want to, what you want to,
what we were talking about?
No, I know what you were talking about. I'm just not sure what else I have to add. So.
Okay, Jack.
We need to retune, redirect.
I'm kind of in the same thing as Beth. Like, come on, give
oh
me something.
God,
you guys are just going back. Like, come on, ask us a question. Don't say talk about it. Like, towards.
Jack,
you
if
are,
you were on death row,
I like
you,
Jack.
Might
I like
be,
the cut of your jib.
When
that is,
don't talk about jibs on this podcast, Beth. It's very.
What did you ask him? If he was on death row, what would he do?
Yeah, no, you didn't let me finish. It's far less sinister than that. Although, still, he's impending death is certain. What would your last meal be, Jack, on death row? Your last meal.
My last meal, it would be a medium rare sirloin. Medium rare.
With all
that's
the fixings?
Mm-hmm. Whole nine yards.
Mike, what would yours be?
I'm sure you can get Jack's last meal at Blue Apron. You see what I did there, Joe?
I do.
Salesman. My last meal would be chicken parm, steak fries, and some sort of tunneling device to escape.
Okay. Not really a meal, but Beth?
Damn, two of my favorite things are already taken, the steak and the chicken parm.
Doesn't matter. You
so...
can pick it.
All right, well, then I'm going to go on the steak and scalloped potatoes with a lot of cheese and really good
ooh,
string beans
good
with butter on them, because obviously weight loss is no longer a concern for me in that situation.
Right, you're going to be weightless soon enough.
And chocolate
for,
cake.
Ooh, dessert's a good one. I would do...
Did they give
have
you dessert?
You
in your
probably
last meal,
not.
Or is it just
would,
like
I
a
think,
meal?
I would imagine that they do. I haven't been. I've never been.
Ooh,
so.
Doing dessert as your last meal would be kind of a curveball, right? Because what do you care?
Dessert, yeah.
Yeah, only dessert.
You know
I would
what
do...
my order is? I would ask for a bunch of rubber to eat. That way I don't conduct electricity.
You don't get killed by the electric chair anymore.
Well, you could if you're, you know, if there's
depend
a time
on the
machine
state.
Involved.
I mean,
yeah.
Leave it to you to do that in the wrong state, and then you've just eaten a whole bunch of rubber and no last meal.
And be miserable and die of some horrible, rare poisoning that no one's died of in years. But, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
A, go out on my own terms, I guess.
I would do a Caesar salad from Pietro's, which is an amazing New York restaurant that you should all go to. They make unbelievable Caesar salad. And I would probably do their chicken parm as well, because it's one of the best meals I've ever had. So.
We could eat together, Jeff.
We could. It would be wonderful. Interesting. Jack went with the sirloin. Beth brought up the idea of just pure breakfast. Or breakfast, just
ooh,
pure
I looked this
dessert.
Up now. A woman who was executed in 1976 simply ate cheese doodles and a Coke.
Ooh. I know someone who got, like, I don't know him, but I read about someone who got, like, Burger King. Wanted, like, four of the biggest burgers that they had and just threw it down with, like, cheese sauce and stuff. So.
But anyway, from what I can see, you are allowed to dessert does come with your last meal.
Oh, that's
what
good.
About a shovel or some sort of tunneling device?
But you can't. You'd have to eat it there in front of them.
I would eat a shovel if I had to.
How are you going
to
eat a shovel?
I'm not sure you have time to pass
one bite
shovel.
At a time, like you eat anything.
Oh my!
That's a silly question.
All right, Rangers. Yeah.
Forest
Rangers.
Do
you have a topic you wanted
shovels,
to bring up?
I would imagine.
You know, you and Jack started this by not answering the question in the first place, so.
We didn't know what the question was.
I was really dumb with my Girardi trade clause thing, because I got mixed up that we'd be trading Girardi rather than assets to the Golden Knights or whatever the hell they're going to be called. Was that resolved, by the way?
What?
The whole Golden Knights, and it was an American military unit.
I actually don't know if it was resolved. I'm going to assume it was, though, because they did.
If they're not the Flamingos, I'm not interested.
The Golden Flamingos?
That would have been so great. Oh, my God.
The Golden Flamingos.
Please me.
I don't even need the gold.
Yeah.
Oh, I do remember what I was going to say, which has anyone else noticed that there seems to be more of a reaction cam MSG on Klein than on Girardi, because that's led to my feeling that Klein seems slightly more aware and sheepish of exactly how not good he's being. And I think that comes in part from when they show him after things go wrong. He's just got this sort of look like, you know, yeah, Jesus, that was bad. Whereas I'm not sure I've ever seen that look. Either I've never seen that sort of look on Girardi after something like that, or he doesn't get the close-ups after, because maybe they're trying to give him space. I don't know. But I've seen several sort of reaction shots on Klein recently that just look like him being like, Jesus, I don't even know why I'm still playing.
I'm sure that's not what I'm thinking. But
that
is
interesting. Yeah, that is interesting. But, you know, even from, you know, in a vacuum, you know, the standards you would hold those two players to, you know, just going off of, you know, where they came from and, you know, their contract and all that, you know, it's Girardi should be the one who faces more scrutiny. You know, he's, you know, served as an alternate captain. You know, he costs so many monies, and, you know, he's been with the team forever, and that might, you know, earn him loyalty of the fans, because, you know, Rangers fans are often, you know, myself included, are often tricky to figure out with, you know, why they're loyal to player X and so quick to dismiss or grab the pitchforks for player Y or Z. But, you know, it's a really weird thing with Girardi this year, because his ice time is actually down. But he's still paired all the time with McDonough at even strength, and he's still used as, you know, McDonough is a couple seconds ahead of him in time on ice average shorthanded, but he's still the guy out there eating all those shorthanded minutes. And, like, to try and reach way, way back to Jack's point, which I know is a stretch, folks, but I can do those sort of stretches thanks to the nutrients I get in my Blue Apron meal. But it's important to keep in mind that even if the Rangers did get someone like Shattenkirk or a guy like that came into the picture, you know, what the hell would happen? Would we expect Girardi to not all of a sudden be playing over 2 minutes of ice time shorthanded every night? You know, it's not going to happen. The weaknesses on the defense will still be there. they'll just be hopefully smoothed over. It'll just be like, oh, remember when Yandel was here and things weren't quite so bad? Let's get a guy who's, you know, will make a similar presence in the lineup to Yandel. And that's, I don't think that's going to do it.
The brilliance behind the way that AV has handled Girardi is that it's gotten to the point when you don't even talk about him anymore. When I talk about Clendenning coming in for someone, it's Klein. Not because Klein is any worse than Girardi, but because I know Girardi's not coming out of the lineup. And maybe that's probably where Vigneault wanted this to go to, because he doesn't answer questions. The media doesn't ask about it. And unfortunately, I'm not in there, and I can't ask anything. I can't say anything. They won't let me. So, you know, you take an opportunity to just over and over again ignore a problem, and you never call the guy out, and you never do anything, and the next thing you know, people aren't talking about him anymore, and they're only talking about Klein and whatever. So that is sort of where the Rangers are at this point, and that is kind of where I think Vigneault wanted this place to go. I mean, how else could you say it? He doesn't talk about Girardi. Girardi is what he is, and I don't think any of us seriously believe that he's going to ever sit. Vigneault said Girardi was going to sit back-to-backs. Girardi sat one back-to-back. So, you know, there's that. My dog is
looking at it. To go back to Beth's point, and I know this is one of those kind of, you know, there's no empirical evidence. You know, we can't look at every single replay and look for Girardi to make I fucked up face. But I don't really see a lot of, you know, a lot of that, oh, sorry, Hank face from Girardi. I do see it a lot from McDonough, where he'll kind of acknowledge Hank's, you know, death stare, you know, that would fell a small child, you know, if they made eye contact. But I don't really recall seeing Girardi give that look, just like, hey, I just left you alone to die, and I'm very sorry. I think we've seen it from Klein, and I know we've seen it from poor Brady Shea, who, you know, when he makes a mistake, and he has, obviously, you know, because every defenseman will make mistakes, and especially young ones. But it's funny you brought that up, Beth, with, you know, seeing the garden vision and seeing, you know, a replay of Klein just making an incredible goof, and, you know, his reaction and the garden's reaction versus not seeing Girardi. That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of that.
Well, I still think my favorite continues to be the Clendenning eye roll. defensive reaction.
That his eyes have not rolled out of his head to this point is, I think, a miracle.
Yeah.
A miracle of modern science, or perhaps human anatomy.
Anyway, that's not very specialized talk, but
Beth has entered the hidden depths of Klein's emotional heart and is
he's a sensitive man. He wears a man bun sometimes.
I'm sure
I believe that
a sensitive man.
The Volkswagen van.
We are very blessed in the regard that there is not Patrick Kane on the New York Rangers in terms of someone who obviously has been on the wrong side of some really horrible things, or accused of some really horrible things. Sure, there's no one on the Rangers that, at least that we know about, and I would like to believe, maybe I'm naive, that there is no one at all. So these are all very likable guys who are great guys in the community, and Tanner Glass was one of the biggest You Can Play supporters in the NHL.
There's a swell bunch of fellows.
A whole bunch of fellas. So, there's none of this is venom that is born from a belief that these guys don't deserve to be in the NHL or that they've made terrible decisions with their lives or anything like that. It is about hockey. The ultimate goal is to win the Stanley Cup, period. End of story. So, you know, saying you know a lot.
Yeah, personality counted. Matt Garath would still be here. That guy was amazing.
He was amazing. I wrote a story about
him. Remember
that
360 cam? And McElrath was the only one who hammed it up.
God, McElrath. Beth is drinking her beer right now, even more aggressive.
I really wanted the Rangers to claim him when the Panthers sent him down.
They should have claimed him just to play him six more games.
I was positive it would have ruined him.
And to get the pick, but they didn't. So
it would have just broken his heart, I know, but God, it would have been great.
Here's the deal. Mike brought up a really good question that I'm going to ask, and Jack, you are now a part of this. Mike wanted to know five non-electronic things you would bring if you were stranded on an island.
Non-electronic things?
I'm going to say one. One non-electronic thing, what would you bring?
One non-electronic
Mike, you've had the most time to think about this. You need to start with this.
Well, one is not good. You need diversity.
Two.
I would do three. The siren is Jack has committed a crime. The police have finally found him. My three things, I'm worried about tipping the hat on what I acknowledge are very good ideas, because this is the sort of thing I think about when I should be trying to figure out my life. But I would probably bring a multi-tool, like a Leatherman, some sort of water filter device, and a fire starter of some kind, like a Swedish fire steel, or perhaps like a magnifying glass, I suppose. Which I could also use to signal ships if we want to get.
Well, if the goal was to be found, I think a mirror is the number one thing you should ever salvage if you're lost in the desert, because it has.
You
like
would
11,
choose a mirror, wouldn't you, Joe?
11,000 times the luminosity? Is that a word, Beth? Luminosity?
Luminosity? Luminosity?
There's no way. There's no way that illuminosity is a word.
Well, regardless, if it is not, that you can signal someone, and it's not electronic. It's just a mirror. So I think I would go with mirror to escape. If I could have an electronic device and I knew I was going to be trapped on there forever, I would bring like a Kindle and that I could charge, and then I would just read books all the time. But that wasn't the
question.
I'd bring
a hot air balloon.
Well, you'd be trying to escape then, and that's not the point.
Well,
escape the. Wait, are we on an island? Is that where we are?
Yeah,
is it an
jungle
island?
Or
jungle?
Island.
No one ever tells me where we are.
No, the point
well,
is.
We do tell you.
It's a jungle island. Yeah.
You're on
the
an
point
island
is
that also has
to avoid the
jungle.
Idea of desert island. Because desert island, you know, you will die within, you know, when the human body shuts down after it doesn't get enough food and water. A jungle island implies that there is vegetation, there's fauna and flora and things you can survive off of.
Huh. Okay.
Okay.
Oh,
so
we
Beth,
lost Jack.
Your selection is
Jack with the rest of his
life. How did you know we lost Jack?
Because he just sent us a message that we lost him.
Where
because
is that message?
The handcuff on him.
He tried to call back in and it didn't work. I have had that problem myself, so I sympathize. And I still don't know what Jack did that we're directing all this criticism at, but I don't know what island I'm on either, so.
When the Rangers played the Kings,
you know.
He put up a picture in the open game thread of the Kings celebrating the overtime winning goal that won them the Stanley Cup. With like Lundqvist, fully sprawled out.
All right, burn him.
Yeah, burn him. It was a horrible.
It wasn't the face down picture, was it?
It was the face down picture, but the worst part was it was the face down picture from an angle of which you could see the Kings mobbing Martinez.
Okay, yes, he
like
deserved
a pterodactyl screech, Beth.
It was like some type of like old primal ancient mating call, or like I don't even know.
You always make things sexual when they don't need to be. I was thinking it was.
In ancient times, mating was not sexual.
Animal.
It was necessity.
Well, you said mating call.
Sure, but a mating call to an animal, there's nothing sexual about having sex.
Are we
things.
Still
it's
on
just,
the island?
Well,
everything
potentially,
is sexual about a mating call. Mating is sex, Joe.
I understand, but animals don't think of it as sexy.
Couldn't be
they
more
think
sexual.
Of it as instinct.
Oh, my.
I stand by
Beth,
that.
You have to say, what would you bring? Three things that are non-electric powered.
To my island.
Island. Yeah.
Okay.
To Beth Island.
To Beth Island.
Beth Island.
Well, one of them has to be a book. The other one has to be a knife. And then the third one Third one. Oh, no, a pen would be dumb, wouldn't it?
You wouldn't
have
paper.
I could, like, draw with rocks or something.
You're not going to live very long, Beth, on the island. I'm sorry.
Oh, matches. I'm bringing matches. And then I'll just keep the fire going all the time.
Okay.
What do I win?
I don't think you've won anything.
You win maybe 2.5 weeks of life on the island, I would imagine.
Maybe.
Which ranger
I don't even
would
know.
Last longest on an island?
Now that
Ooh.
Is a goddamn question, Beth.
Thank you.
Oh, God, what a question.
Which one of them are hunters? I know...
Oh, J.T. Miller.
Yeah, although there's that amazing story that Hayes told.
That is a really good point. If
Miller
has
a deer tattoo, but he's never killed a deer.
Oh, that's kind of cute, isn't it, that he never killed the deer?
Yeah.
And what does
and
he
so,
hunt for? I mean,
I no
I've heard he's not killing a deer, but I thought he hunted, so what the hell is he shooting, or does he just always miss?
I'd imagine birds of some kind or small game.
Yeah, fowl of sorts, small game. Yeah.
Waterfowl.
Ducks.
I would
but
say...
fishes. Wouldn't fishing be more useful than hunting?
You'd have to have a
yeah,
boat,
fishing.
Though, to get out on the island.
I think I've seen Zuccarello and Hagman in a picture holding a fish, or was that just a fantasy of mine?
Yeah, did they have a margarita on the other hand? I don't trust either of those. I don't see a vocation there in their fishing, put it that way.
Zuccarello, I think, would not be a bad choice.
I think Zuccarello would be a bad choice.
Because you're a fool.
Well,
he comes
I think
from,
Nash would
he
be...
He comes from a harsh country.
He does.
Norway.
I think Nash would be too nice to kill anything or anyone. Kreider could, like, Hulk kill a lot of animals, I would assume. But if J.T. Miller has hunting experience, I mean, he's never killed a deer, so...
My
the chances of there
McDon-
being deer on
McDonough
this island
Miller
are very
Miller and Zook
slim.
Are my three. I go
no,
McDonough, Miller, Zook.
You go McDonough, Miller, Zook. So McDonough and Stefan
yeah.
were born in the cold winter wasteland of Minnesota. So they'd have to be high on your list because they already survived to that point.
Isn't the island tropical? Who gets stranded on a snowy island?
Well, but I'm saying that if they could handle that rough terrain, they could handle a tropical island.
All right.
Unfortunately, the Rangers don't have many people from, like, the Golden Triangle part of the world, you know?
Or does
like,
Buchnevich, who grew up in Russia, is he just like an animal who just hunted his own food and ran down his own animals? And you don't know.
You know that survival is a lot
well,
less about just running
that's
around
a big
and
change from the enigmatic
about.
Russian cliche. Now we have
a lot more about planning and being calm and thoughtful.
Yeah.
And not losing your mind and just running in circles and screaming.
Like running up to animals and squeezing them to death, like Kreider would in your fantasy. Finding the nearest tortoise and just squeezing it to oblivion.
I still think that was so amazing last night. Who was that he literally just like boa constrictored into submission?
Oh.
Wasn't that last night?
Where Kreider like attacked
even like
the guy?
A fight. He just like held him in a death grip till the guy melted.
Yeah, and he didn't get a fighting
major.
He
didn't
they got a
fight.
Roughing penalty. He like had him
yeah,
in a headlock and then like slowly put him to sleep.
Got a hug.
Yeah, the other guy got unsportsmanlike, I think, which was weird.
God,
Maloney
I think I would
laughing
go,
about it on the radio.
I would go Miller, Kreider, Buchnevich. I just have a feeling Buchnevich is capable
no,
of a lot of things.
Buchnevich
kind of
a
dark
is a
horse
poor
in
choice.
This game.
You know what? I'm going to go with Russia over soft.
First off, Buchnevich doesn't have enough meat on his bones to subsist off his own body fat so long.
That's
no,
true.
But maybe that says that he only eats what he can and does not waste the animal.
Which would be foolhardy.
Listen,
you
don't know
he
survived
everything.
To this. How old is he? 21? He
you
survived
have
to be 21.
You have to make jerky out of it, don't you? Or something?
Yeah, you have to get creative to crack the bones and get to the marrow. You have to go the whole night.
Here's what I do know. We would not probably survive very long.
Oh, I admit that freely. I'm not sure I
would
survive very long.
That's very long. Yeah.
I would lay down after about 45 minutes and just be like, okay, just can something kill me now, please, so that I can stop this.
Yeah, I would just wait for death by hermit crab.
But if you can't be killed by a crab at this point.
You know they'd all just befriend you and be following you around like ducklings within like a week.
We've made enemies with the crab.
I have had hermit crabs growing up, but never lasted long.
You hated the enemy with your hermit crabs. Were they better than the neighbor's dog, at least?
Yeah, they were. I still remember, like, every summer it would be, and one year, like, every summer it would be, yeah, Mike, you can have a pet hermit crab, and they would live for a week. And all you had to do was, like, they had a little sponge and hermit crab food, and you soak the sponge so they have water. And, you know, you just, like, fish food, like, flaky food. And then you just watch them do nothing but hide in their shell all day. And then one day they just would come out of the shell and they'd start to die and smell bad. But then one year it didn't die, and it was like September, and I was, you know, back from the shore, and I was like, what the hell do I do with this thing? It's alive. And so I was waiting for it to die and hoping it would die. Because
I don't like
want to
this
take
story.
Care of it anymore. Well, that is a real story. Sometimes
it's a horrible story.
You wish for the death of a crustacean.
I've never had that happen.
I'm not proud of this story.
I would not be. I would not be telling it, but continue.
Well, there's nothing more to say. I took care of it, you know, begrudgingly until it passed away. And then I was relieved and sad because I realized I didn't really want the hermit crab to die.
Oh, see, that ended a nice little ending. My best friend... mother did not know that birds replace the seed shells once they've eaten a seed, and starved three birds to death because she thought that they had full food and they had actually eaten all the seeds.
That is atrocious.
I'm not telling a dead animal story.
I don't care if it's
my turn.
This is why you won't last long on the island, Beth.
Beth, you have to tell one.
I don't care. No.
I'm not saying it's funny. It is sad. My dog's family looks at me
for the
corner of the room.
And it moves us all.
I honestly don't know any.
Well,
I think.
Good.
You have yet to have an animal in your life that's passed away.
No, I have, but they're not stories.
Have you eaten
they're
meat?
Just animals. Have I eaten animals? Did I eat any of my pets that passed away? No, I did not.
Now, I will say this. If you had eaten a pet that passed away, you would survive on the island. You have a heart.
Absolutely. You would be a monster, but you would definitely
But you would absolutely survive. Mike, would you have eaten the neighbor's dog if you butchered it?
No, I couldn't eat a dog.
Just to gain its power?
The craziest thing I've eaten is probably buffalo and then a raw oyster once. I'm not a very adventurous food guy.
I love raw oyster.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. It was... It was not for me. It felt like I was eating someone else's cold.
Ew. What is wrong with you, you animal?
Well, you know, this is what happens when we linger too long.
It's true. We are deep into the...
Like phlegm lingers on the uvula, Joe.
Deep into the Gilligan's Island episode of the podcast, apparently. Anyone know what Gilligan's Island is anymore? Okay.
Yeah, I know.
I never
know
on when I was a child.
But
people always had really clean clothes for being stranded.
Yeah,
they did.
They were kind of hot,
hair.
Some of them.
This just makes me want us to have some sort of Lord of the Flies scenario with us to see who would last.
I have never read Lord of the Flies, and I don't think I ever will.
You
never read Catcher
in the Rye. Already.
Never, and I just don't know. I'm in the middle of the Dark Tower, and it is an all-encompassing.
You've already established that you're not much of a bibliophile, Joe.
Yeah, we talked about your bookcases without books on them, right?
Well, what do you want me to do? I have a Kindle Fire. I don't need bookcases. Okay.
But, I mean, one would assume that at some point in your life before the Kindle Fire... you might have acquired a book.
Perhaps. Maybe. Mayhaps. Other
but
things.
All I ever did as a kid was read. was a sad, sad boy who liked books.
Shockingly, as a kid, I read a lot, and then I went through a period of time where I did not read at all, and then I've jumped back in.
I remember feeling weird for enjoying summer reading, and all my brothers and cousins would look at me like, what the hell's wrong with you? And I'd be like,
great. I had Ender's Game as a summer reading once, and that was awesome.
Got cards, yeah. I read Ender's Game, good. He's a little bit of a weirdo, yeah. But...
He was a bit of a weirdo, but you know what? You do what you can. I'm a weirdo. You're a weirdo. We're all weirdos.
No. Watch your goddamn mouth.
Damn. Mike said damn. Damn.
I'll pick
Beth,
you up.
Beth, anything
like,
you want to add to this?
Jungle Island.
Answer what? What am I answering?
You're not really answering. You're just adding to this.
Yeah, I think we should end the podcast.
I really think we should. I think it may have ended itself without
it's
us.
It's like an awkward teenage date at the movie theater, just looking at each other like, do we hold hands? But there's butter on my hands.
How much butter did you put on
it
your popcorn?
It always comes back to butter, doesn't it?
I don't put butter on my popcorn at the movie theater, Joe. Do you jump the counter and demand to butter your own popcorn at the movie theater?
I have a movie theater that allows you to... butter your own popcorn,
well,
and I take full advantage.
I'm sorry that
butter
we all don't get to butter our own popcorn and eat fancy Blue Apron meals.
I'd butter it to the point of no return. There is so much butter on the popcorn that I should be dead almost immediately.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry that we're all not Joe. With a
You're bringing butter to the island, aren't you?
Maybe. And
bringing an entire dairy farm to the island?
You don't want to be me. Don't be me.
Churning butter all day under the jungle sun.
Nothing to put it on, just butter.
Yeah.
I guess you could butter a fish.
Or hermit crab.
Absolutely.
Bacon, really
butter
or
crab. God, butter is made specifically for crabs.
Mm.
Is that true?
Okay.
They made butter just for crab ship?
You know what, Mike? I'm done with your nonsense.
I think this podcast killed itself a few minutes back.
Well, you forgot to clip in the Jimmy Vesey song, which was, frankly, the pinnacle of your entire life was the song. And you forgot to make the audio clip of that and play it this week. So
I did. You know, your brother also told me that he was going to make a new song for the show, a new introduction.
Yeah, but
my
brother's full of shit, so.
Well, you better get
that
on that.
So no,
I am
so
now
no
blaming
Igor
you.
The gondolier either.
Igor the gondolier. He is a gondolier.
An accordion playing.
Really, not much. Wait, what rhymes with gondolier? Chandelier.
Chandelier. Yeah, chandelier.
Bondolier.
Grenadier, as in Grenadier. One who grenades.
It's a very warlike song. All right, I'm hanging up now. So you guys can do your podcast, but it'll be without me. I'm abandoning
you. Always
abandon us.
I do, but I feel like it's time. Also, my beer is empty.
Okay. Well, Beth Macklin.
Salty tier.
Twitter.com.
Anything about that?
Beth Macklin.
The salty tier of a gondolier.
Mike Murphy. Twitter.com/digdeepbsd. Joe Fortunato is...
Don't follow me on Twitter.
Follow Mike on Twitter. He's the greatest thing in the world, and this website would not be this website without him. So
Jesus,
he is literally
right.
Has changed my life in every positive way.
Like
he has changed all
like
of
it.
Our lives for the better.
I don't
become
like it.
One of my best friends, and
I
cannot imagine
the
life without him.
You have to eat your own feet.
He loves when I give
your
him compliments.
Your foot gets all gangrene, gangrenous, and horrible, and it smells. And you have to find a sharp seashell and saw it off one night.
Oh, my God,
night,
you
guys.
Are an animal. Patreon.com/BlueShirtPanther.
BlueApron.com/BlueApron.
BlueApron.com/BlueShirt. Beth just dropped, and she is a whale. Mike called her a whale once, and now she's a whale again because she's on the podcast.
Oh,
yeah, this is what you get. Don't hang up. All right, love you all. We're sorry for this. Goodbye.
This is what you get. Goodbye.